Beautiful song. Thank you for that. And the young lady, such a great job. Very blessed to have people use the talents God's given them for His glory. And what a great song to go with the message tonight. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I just wondering very quickly, did anybody have any gifts under the Christmas tree today? Anybody? Did anybody get a lump of coal? Bag of switches? Nobody. My mom always threatened me with that. She never followed through yet. But there's still opportunity, and knowing her, it may happen. My mom visited here on Sunday, and some of you told her awful things, and I thought we had an agreement. She's not going to go online and listen to the messages. She doesn't know what I say about her here, and I didn't need you to people to tell her what I said. So I appreciate that. Luckily, it's a couple of weeks before we get to celebrate Christmas with them, so hopefully she'll forget, but probably not. I might get my lump of coal. That's right. I love Christmas. I think it's fun. I love watching the kids open their presents, and it's such a fun thing. And watching them tear into that paper, you know, when they're really little, it's funny because they don't know how to do it. Like, you know, they don't know what to do, and you got to kind of get them started. But man, once they figure it out, you know, it's just like papers flying and. And they get so excited, and it's just it's a joy. There's just something special about that, to wrap something up and to have it there waiting, and it's for someone. You know, it's not just, it's got their name on it, and it's wrapped up, and it's special, and it's something you got to wait for. You know, you don't just go to the store and bring it home, and here you go. It's something that's special. It's thought out. It's wrapped up, and it's there. That's part of the fun, and it's such an enjoyable thing. And I want you to know that the Bible tells us about God's unspeakable gift. Amen. And Jesus Christ is that unspeakable gift. I want to talk to you about how He was wrapped tonight in Luke chapter 2. Let's stand together. Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this wonderful time to come together to sing Your praises and to spend some time in the preaching of Your word. Please help me, for I'm nothing without You. Pray Your Holy Spirit would move among us. And those that are here that have never been saved, that tonight would be the night they'd say yes to Jesus. They'd repent of their sin and unbelief. They'd put their faith in Christ alone and trust in You and be born again. Lord, I thank You for the salvation that You freely offered through Your Son, Jesus. Truly unspeakable gift. Beyond description. But thank You for Your word and Your spirit that gives us enlightenment that we can understand a little bit by and by, and help us as we learn more about You and who You are and what You've done for us to love You more and live for You better. Thank You for those who have come, and we pray that You'll help and work in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Very simple message I'd like to share with you tonight. Just the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth clothed in humility, and today and forever He is clothed in glory. Amen. When Mary brought forth her firstborn son, she being a virgin, never being with a man, the miracle was done that God would be born in the flesh, born made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that are under the law. And so she brought Him into this world and wrapped Him in swaddling clothes. Now, Luke's the only one that uses this word for swaddling, and it just simply means strips of of fabric, but it's interesting because it's the same word that the ancient Greeks used in medicinal terms. And so a lot of people have brought out the fact that this is the same type of fabric or the same type of wrap that would later be used to wrap up the body of Jesus when he was laid in a tomb. And I don't want to make too much of that, but there's certainly a picture there. Amen. That we have Jesus and he's wrapped in these swaddling clothes and he's laid in a manger because there's no room for him in the inn. I want you to think back because Jesus is the son of David. Amen. Right? He is of the house and lineage of David. He is a son of David. And we read about Solomon. And Solomon was a man who in the very beginning had a great deal of humility. And he said, listen, when I was born like any other man. I was swaddled up by my mama. I was born like any other man. And I want you to get this. Jesus was born like any other man. He truly was the son of man, the son of David. But even more lowly was his birth. Amen. There was no midwife. There was no water, clean water there, likely much clean water to clean him up and to take care of Mary. It was a manger. Amen. It was a place for livestock. And he had the lowliest of births. Jesus Christ came in great humility. Now, God calls us to humble ourselves, but listen, friend, when you humble yourself, the difference between where you are and where you ought to be, we don't have a long ways to go down. I mean, we are very low. But Jesus, the highest of all heights, above all things, the preeminence of all things in all of creation, above all things, and yet he came to the lowliest, lowliest place. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Remember, he said, I and the Father are one. He made himself equal with God, and he was God. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ humbled himself. He became very lowly so that he could be the Savior of the world. We see his humility in his birth, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger in a trough. No doubt Joseph took the time to throw out the old hay and put in some fresh straw to make a bed for baby Jesus, but it was a lowly, lowly birth. He was wrapped in humility. Not only in his birth, but in his death. In Mark chapter 15, verses 17 through 20, Mark 15:17 says, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put on his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And in Matthew chapter 27, verse 35, it says, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Jesus, in his life, the Bible says that he had not where to lay his head. The birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus didn't have much in this world. But one thing he did have was a garment that was sewn all in one piece. So when they had beaten Jesus and they mocked Jesus, when they scourged him, you notice that they stripped him of his clothes when they scourged him, and then they put the robe on him and they mocked him and they put the crown of thorns and they spit upon him and they beat him, and then they put his own garment on him when they led him away to be crucified. But they took his clothes from him when they crucified him, and they didn't want to tear it apart because they wanted all of his stuff. The Roman soldiers took whatever belongings that the ones who were crucified had. They stole their belongings. They took them away. And so they didn't want to rip up Jesus' one thing that he had, that garment. So they gambled for it at the feet of the cross. They cast lots for it there at the feet of the cross to see who would get it. So he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He had on his clothes of humility. They put on a scarlet robe. They put the robe on him, that royal-looking robe, to mock him, not to worship him, but to mock him. And then he had nothing when he died on the cross. I don't know if you've thought about that much, but he had nothing. And he had no one. All men forsook him and fled. Some of the disciples were there. Those women were there. And many of the disciples watched from afar off. But Jesus was on the cross alone. He had to do it alone. Amen. He had no one and he had nothing, not even something to cover his body. While he hung there, bearing our shame, he became sin for us. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, I think it's important that we understand the physical suffering that Jesus went through when he died on Calvary. I'm thankful for men who have taught me in the history that I've studied to learn about crucifixion, because I think it's important that you understand. I think it's important that you understand when they chastise and when they scourge Jesus, that you understand what that means. That you understand that they whipped him to the point of near death. That you understand and you imagine what it was like to have that crown of thorns on his head. That you understand what it would be like to have somebody take a reed and beat you. This isn't like your brother or sister hitting you with a stick. They were beating him with rods. I think it's important that you understand, and we read from the Old Testament, they ripped the hairs from his face and they spit on him. The shame that he bore, it's important that you understand that physical, because I think this is key. It's important you understand how Jesus suffered for us physically, because that doesn't even begin to compare how he suffered for us spiritually. It's hard for me to imagine what it was like for Jesus. It's hard for me to even think about it. When they laid him on that cross and they drove the nails in his hands and feet, can you imagine? When they hoisted him up and he was hanging there, bleeding, shedding his precious blood to take away our sins, and the pain that he endured there, that excruciating pain that he went through, and yet it was nothing, nothing compared to the spiritual pain that he endured. When the sin of the world was placed on our Savior. You know how it feels when you do something you shouldn't? Have you ever done anything that you're really ashamed of? I mean really ashamed of. Something that you just wish nobody would ever know about. You know how that feels? You know how heavy that is on your heart? That's why so many of you, when you talk about being saved, you say, it felt like a great weight was lifted off of me. Amen. You feel the weight of that sin, the pressure of it, the spiritual pain of it. Multiply that times 7 billion times 7 billion. All the people that have ever lived, Jesus endured that on the cross. Friends, we can't begin to comprehend how he suffered that day. Amen. When he was born, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. When he died, he was covered with our shame and our sin. Matthew chapter 27, verses 58 through 60. Matthew 27, verses 58 through 60, it says, he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken down the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Our Savior was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, When he died, his body was wrapped in a clean linen cloth and laid in a borrowed tomb. I love the truth that Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. He only needed it for a few days. Isn't that good? We look through the Old Testament and burying places were important. It was important for Abraham to have a place to bury his wife Sarah. He wanted a place. He said, to bury my dead out of my sight. Well, he bought that place. He didn't borrow it. He bought that as a burying place for his family for generations to come. My mom's family has a family cemetery. And if you do it right, you got to go through legal channels. You can't just start burying your family members in the backyard. It's important that you know that. You got to go through the proper legal channels to set that up, because when you set up a cemetery, that's a place to bury your family members. And it's to be a permanent place. We're not just going to put them in there for a little while. We're going to put them there until the end. Till God burns this place up. But Jesus just needed it for a few days. It was a brand new tomb. It was a clean linen cloth. But he just needed it for a little while. We see Jesus was wrapped in humility, but he was raised in glory. In John chapter 20, verses 6 through 9, John 20 and verse 6 says, "Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he said, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead." Now, Jesus had told the disciples so much. "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to rise again the third day." But they didn't have understanding. By the way, you can hear the truth a lot of times, and unless the Holy Spirit of God gives you understanding, you're not going to get it. They're spiritually discerned. And they had heard those truths very plainly multiple times, but they didn't get it. But when he came in and saw the empty tomb, not only did he borrow the tomb, but he borrowed the clothes. When he was raised in glory, he didn't need that stuff anymore. And I love the detail of Scripture. Jesus, when he resurrected, folded up the stuff. Isn't that amazing? "Here, Joseph, I borrowed this. I'm going to leave it here for you, nice and neat and clean. I don't need that anymore." Now he doesn't need swaddling clothes. He doesn't need a garment sewn one piece from top to bottom. He doesn't need a linen cloth and a napkin. He doesn't need anything like that, because now he is clothed with his glory. The clothes that he has described in the book of the Revelation are described as clothes for us, and certainly he has a garment. But it's not like any garment made by human hands. He didn't need what Joseph had for him anymore. It says in Revelation 1, verse 13, "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Friends, that's my Savior. Amen. And if you've turned from your sin and put your faith in him, he's your Savior. He was dead, but now he's alive. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. He was born in great humility, lowly. But he was raised up, King of kings and Lord of lords, in all glory. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, 11 says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth out the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords." See, I want to remind you today that that babe that we celebrate on that, maybe it was a silent night, but it was a holy night. When he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in that manger, he was born for the purpose of dying. But listen to me. He died for the purpose of living. Get it? He didn't stay dead. He died. He laid down his life in order to take it up again, so that he would take it up again. The sacrifice had to be paid, but he conquered death and hell and the grave. He has all authority, all power over hell and death because of his perfect sacrifice. Revelation 21:23 says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." He was born clothed in humility, but he lives forever in glory. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. He was wrapped in fine linen and laid in a borrowed tomb. But now he is wrapped in everlasting glory, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he waits to receive all who will come to him by faith. Amen. Let's stand together and prepare for an invitation tonight. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I want to invite you tonight, if you've never been born again, that you come to Jesus by faith. Listen to me. Every single human being that's ever lived or will live will bow down before Jesus one day. You'll bow down to him. If you don't believe in him, you'll bow down before him at that great white throne. Will you be cast into a lake of fire forever and ever? But friends, he died for you. He suffered for you. He paid the price for you. And you can be born again, but you must come to him by faith. You must let go of your sin and your pride and humbly come before him and trust in him. And he will save you and give you eternal life. And if you are saved, I pray that you'll rejoice with me. And by the grace of God, we'll live for him in a greater way this coming year than we ever have before. Because he is worthy, and he deserves all the glory. If he's convicting your heart about anything tonight, you come right now while we sing.